7. James 4, 7. You can just sit up there, Jeff. Thank you, sir. All right, James 4, 7. And what we're going to do is quote that together, James 4, 7. Then we're going to pray, sing the song, and then actually go through the verses there and try to apply scriptural principles to this. And trust that God will work in our hearts and then finish the book up of chapter number 2. Amen. All right. Let's say that together. We'll say the reference, then the verse, and the reference. Here we go. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, 7. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together for Sunday school. I pray that we would be encouraged by the principle that is here and the power that is in the Word of God. Lord, if we truly submit ourselves to you, resist the devil, he will definitely flee from us, Lord. So I pray that you bless now today's message and give us the knowledge and the understanding that we need to have in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Let me ask this first before we actually go through the song. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why does this work, and how does this work? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How does this work, and why does this work? Anybody got a clue? Why? How and why does this work? We know it's the Word of God. Yes, Beth? Amen. poor other person. Amen. Amen. That's true. Amen. Anybody else want to add to that? Why does this work and how does this work? Practically speaking, that brings a good point. Amen. If you shun him, he'll go to somebody else. Unfortunate as that may be. How this works and why this works. Anybody else? How it works. Why? Works. Yes. Carly.
I guess because you submitted yourself to God. Mm-hmm. You're in prayer.
Okay.
Hmm.
Amen. You're in contact with God and the devil can't get in. That is true. Amen. Anybody else want to lend some? How does this work and why does this work? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Practically, how does this work? Serge? Amen. Not vulnerable to its attacks. Amen. Shane, you just came in, so stand back up. Let me use you for a moment here. Now, the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Okay. I'm going to play the part of God. Shane is going to be Mr. Christian. Okay. Shane was out here doing his own thing, minding his own business. And he said, you know what? There's some temptation that I need to get protection from. So I'm going to submit myself, therefore, to God. I'm going to see what God has to say about it. And so in doing so, he comes into protection of God. So come over here, Shane. And so now Shane is here. He's obeying the word of God, and the word of God has him like this, or God has him like this. So he is submitting himself to God. And so he is in God's protective care. Now he is going to resist the devil. So the devil is out there. So if he's in my care, where is he not? With the devil. So as he's resisting by staying in God's protective care, because it says submit yourself, therefore, to God, or put yourself under God's authority, or put yourself in God's protection. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, what does Shane have the ability to do? He has the ability to say, I like that temptation, and so I'm going to go there. I don't want to submit to God. By the way, if you're submitted to God, you are resisting the devil. If you are not resisting the devil, then you are not submitted to God. And you're going to walk away from what God would have because it's voluntary. God is not going to force you to come into his protective arms and care. Now, he has you for salvation. You cannot get unsaved. But when it comes to you and I in resisting the devil, we've got to submit to God first because we cannot resist the devil on our own. We don't have the power, nor the strength, nor the will. We have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, which will get us every time. The only defense that we have is to do what Shane did. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. God puts his protection on you. He says, now stay in my word, and you stay in my care, and you resist the devil, and the devil is going to have to go. Now, why does the devil have to go?
Because he can't reach you.
He can't reach me. And is it useless for is it worthwhile for the devil to stay around or hang around whilst he can't get to me?
No.
And so he's going to go someplace else. By the way, the devil most times didn't have time for us, but the demons do. And so the demonic forces then are waiting and willing. And so while they're over here doing this, they're constantly luring young Christians out by the lust of the flesh. You want that thing. The lust of the eyes. You see that thing. The pride of life. You want to be that thing. And they're constantly luring young Christians out. Come, come, come. They flash pictures. They flash things. They flash money. They do all sorts of things to get your attention. Young Christian, don't be submitted to God. Look at what I have. Mm-hmm. What happens to the Christian oftentimes? If the lust of the flesh doesn't get them, the lust of the eyes will. And the lust of the eyes doesn't, the pride of life will. And when young Christian comes out of the protection and the care, and then the devil smacks them a couple times, where does the Christian normally run? Right back to God. And they submit again. And the Christian life, if you and I are honest, is a life of this. Submitting, giving in. Submitting, giving in. Submitting, giving in. Submitting and giving in. On a daily basis, if you're honest, that's what we do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
On a daily basis, there's something that we think, well, it's not so bad. Mm-hmm. Ow! There's something else. That was bad. But that's not so bad. Ow! Some folks stay out here so long, they're anesthetized. Doesn't hurt anymore. That don't hurt at all. This Christian says, man, that hurts. This Christian says, I touch it all the time. Doesn't bother me at all. You know, they've gotten anesthetized to sin. They've gotten used to it. And so the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, it doesn't bother them as much. And so they can watch things that normally you couldn't watch. Or they can say things that normally you couldn't say. Or they could go places normally you wouldn't go. Or they could listen to things that you wouldn't listen to. And they say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. And you say, I see a whole lot wrong with it. Why? Because I'm submitted to God and I'm not anesthetized to the sin. But now you have been out there so long that you're anesthetized. Mm-hmm. So it works this way. When I submit to God's protective care and I'm in God's word and in God's will, I am resisting the devil. I'm opposing that or I'm standing against that. And I say, look, I don't want that. And so I come back over in the protection and the care of God, and the devil cannot get to me. His demons cannot get to me. They can attract me, but they cannot get me. The moment they attract me, God says, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. Now, what do we do with our children? We normally put guards and protections up.
Yep.
How many of y'all got little kids? And you got the little gates? The gate is designed to physically bar them from going. We're adult people, so God is not going to physically bar you from going.
Right.
He's going to say, if you go, it's going to be painful. He's going to give you the consequences and say, if you do this, this happens. But he's not going to physically put up a gate. You're gated, brother.
He'll box you in.
Because then you don't have a free will. Your choice is gone. But he gives you a free will and a free choice. And he says, all right, submit yourselves therefore to me. Resist devil and he'll flee. But he is not going to force you. He is not going to force your will. Why? He wouldn't be fair to you. He made you with a free will and a free choice, free agent. All right, free agent, you're free to go. Amen?
Yeah.
Thank you, Shane. So that is how that works practically. Anything that God says in the word of God, that he gives you a command and says, do this, submit yourself therefore to God, there's going to be a reaction to that. Resist the devil and he will flee. Before long, the devil's going to get tired of bothering you. He's going to say, you know what? You're just the goody two shoes. You know, I can't get my way with you. You know, there is not anything working on you. So I'll leave you for how long?
A season.
How long is a season? Sometimes they're long. Sometimes they're short.
Yep.
We have them categorized, winter, fall, spring, you know, all that. And so each one is about 3 months or so, but it varies. Unless you're in Arizona, amen. A season is a designated time. And so the devil's going to leave you for a while. And if he tried plan A on you and it didn't work, what's he normally going to try? B. If B doesn't work, what's he going to try? C. He's going to go through the alphabet. Now, if he gets to Z and none of that works, what is he going to do? AA. Then he's going to go AB. Yeah. Then he's going to go AC. And he's going to run again. Sooner or later, he's going to find something that is your soft spot, your weak spot, that which you will come out of the protection and the care and going try to get it. And that's when, ow, by the way, if you get out of God's protection, does he oftentimes warn you? Yes.
He does.
How does he warn us?
Making you uncomfortable.
What makes us uncomfortable? Exactly. The Holy Spirit or correction. The Holy Spirit says, now, do you really want to do that? Does that please God? Now, if you do that, you know God's not going to be pleased with that. Now, do you really want to go past that barricade that says do not enter? Do you really want to touch that? The Holy Spirit just kind of reminds us of what the Bible says. That's why it's important to memorize scripture. It's important to have submit yourself, therefore, to God in our hearts. Resist the devil and he will flee. It's important to have thy word if I hid my heart that I might not sin against thee. So that I can have some kind of parameters or some guides, because the Holy Spirit will bring God's word back to your remembrance. When a child gets into trouble, what do they normally think about? Mom told me not to do whatever. So what are they recalling? Your words. And they recall your words when you told them to do or not to do.
Right.
And if they do and you said not to do, what's normally going to happen? Well, consequences, and they might do it again. Amen. And what do I do to make sure that they don't do it again? Make sure that the consequences outweigh the pleasure. If the consequences don't outweigh the pleasure, they'll think, well, I know the consequences, but it doesn't really hurt me. It doesn't really bother me. Make sure that you know what consequences your children really respond to. My children are all different. I have to do different consequences on them because they're all different. They like different things. And so for one, it may be this. For the other one, it may be this. For one, it may be dessert. Another one, it may be a video game. For this one, it may be not going outside. And so it's going to vary. And I've got to make sure that the consequence outweighs the pleasure they got out of that sin or whatever it was. By the way, God does the same thing with us. There are consequences to sin. There's degrees. Now, we know the wages of sin is death. That's the ultimate. That's the penalty. That's why Jesus Christ died. But as a born-again believer, when we do sin, there are consequences that are built in. And so when we're looking at temptation, the devil's ultimate goal is to find your weakness, whether it's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or pride of life. And when he finds your weakness, it's to capitalize on that to bring you out of the submission that you had to God. It works for young people, and it works for older people.
Yep, it does.
You can be 86 years old. Anybody here 86? I don't think so. And guess what? 86-year-old people are still tempted.
Yes, sir, they are.
76-year-old people are still tempted. 66-year-old people are still tempted. 56, 46, 36, 26, 16. We're getting down there now. Everybody's tempted. So when you look at this verse, James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Notice what it says. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. And so God gives you the remedy for temptation right there. Amen. Notice verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That word resisteth there really means to range in battle against someone or oppose someone. Why would God resist the proud? Why would he oppose the proud? Katie?
They don't see a need for God.
They don't see a need for God. What was Satan's sin? Pride.
Pride.
So God's going to oppose that sin because he opposed it in Satan. So if you and I harness that and hold on to it, don't you think he's going to punish us too with that or deal with us on that as well? He is. Amen. Okay, let's take our song out. Who needs one? We're going to sing this song here. Then we're going to apply some verses to this. Yield not to temptation. Who just came in and does not have a song? Yield not to temptation. Okay. Ms. Dawson, Jeff, can you give one of these to Ms. Dawson?
Yeah.
Anybody else not have a copy of the song? Okay. In a minute, we're going to get Ms. Tasha to go up and play that. We've gone through the first two stanzas and then the beginning of the third stanza. And we've applied biblical verses to these. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. We saw James 1:13 for that part. Each victory will help you, some other to win. We saw the biblical reference to that. Fight manfully onward, 1 Timothy 6:12 for that one. Dark passions subdue, 1 Corinthians 9:27 for that one. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Hebrews 12:1-2 for that one. Then coming to second stanza, shun evil companions. That was Proverbs 1:10. Bad language, disdain or have a strong dislike or disapproval for. God's name, hold in reverence. We saw Exodus 27 for that. Nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. We saw Ephesians 4:32 for that one. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Then the third stanza, we saw, to him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. We saw Revelations 2:10 for that one. And notice this, through faith we shall conquer. What verse can we get? What principle verse can we apply to that? Through faith we shall conquer. Through faith. What are some of our faith verses? Which one comes to mind? Nobody's got a faith verse? How about, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God?
Yep.
How about, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is a reward of them that diligently seek him. So Hebrews 11:6 for the one, and Romans 10:17 for the other. Through faith we shall conquer. So now, if it says through faith we shall conquer, how am I going to conquer through faith? Amen.
You know, that encourages your faith when you know that you have someone that's always in your corner.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes you feel like you are going through stuff all by yourself and you don't have any help.
Amen. 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 So having the ability to know that God is there and God is going to conquer and God is going to give me what I need. I'm not alone. Now think about what Katie said. Through faith, it says, we shall conquer. What is the definition of faith? The Bible says, faith is the substance of things, what? Hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, I've got to believe that if I trust God's word, like Shane, and I've got to believe that if I do what God says, then God is going to give me the ability to conquer. Like Katie said, I know he's here. Oftentimes, I think we have faith as a mystical type of thing. And it's not. It's just believing what God says and acting on it. That's all faith is. If you told your child, okay, I want you to do your chores and I'll give you $5. What does that child have to do to get the $5? Do their chores. It's just that practical. So if God says, do this, I do that, and I can conquer in his name and his power and stability. It's not mystical. So it says, through faith, we shall conquer, though often cast down. The verse reference that comes to mind is 2 Corinthians 4:9. Let's go over there real quick, 2 Corinthians 4:9. Through faith, we shall conquer, though often cast down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9. First one that's there, raise your hand and can read that for me. 2 Corinthians 4:9. Who's there? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9. And Katie, read that. Cast down but not destroyed. So Paul said, you know, we've gone through some things. And we've been persecuted. We've been beat up a little bit. But we're not destroyed. So in other words, God is not going to allow me to be put down so bad that I can never get back up. By the way, can I always get back up as long as I have life? can always get back up and have faith in God. My faith does not depend upon anything or anybody else but me. If God said it, I can have faith. Now, my physical limitations may be different. I may not be able to do certain things, but faith speaking, if I trust God's word, I can make it. So he says in verse number 9, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. So through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. By the way, if we're not cast down, sometimes you know what we're going to do? Fall down. We're going to fall down. And if we're not cast down, if we don't fall down, sometimes we're going to get knocked down. And sometimes, physically speaking, we're just going to be down. For whatever the reason, stress, illnesses, sicknesses, discouragement, we're just going to be down. And the Bible says here, these things can happen, but you know what? I can be persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. So that's that song says, through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. What verse comes to mind? He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. What verse comes to mind? Because again, the person that wrote this had some biblical principles in mind when they wrote this song. Was that? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. I can do all things. What else comes to mind? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There's a strength in there. Anybody else? Yeah, Ms. Dawson. Wait on the Lord. He shall strengthen thine heart. Amen. Out of Psalms. What is the classic favorite out of Isaiah? They that wait upon the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Our strength he will renew. The one Ms. Tisha gave is good. The one Ms. Dawson gave is good. Isaiah is good as well, dealing with renewing our strength. Because the song says, through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Now, keeping in mind, the crux of this song says what? Yield not to what? Temptation. Will we all be tempted? Yes. Isaiah 40 and verse, let's go to verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But notice this, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So he says, to him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Then it says what? Look ever to Jesus. He will do what? Carry you through. Then it says, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Last verse for this song, 1 Peter 5 and verse number 10. 1 Peter 5, 10. 1 Peter 5, 10. Horatio Palmer actually wrote this song. 1 Peter and chapter 5 and verse 10. Who's got 1 Peter 5, 10? Can you read that for me? Ms. Bev? Amen. Now, the book of 1 Peter is written by Peter to Christians that were being persecuted and struggling. And at the conclusion, he says this. He said, after you suffered a while, you're going through some tough times. God's going to make you perfect. He's going to make you more mature. He's going to establish you. He's going to give you some stability about your life. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to give you some vitality. And he's going to settle you. So in other words, he's saying he's going to kind of gird you up and kind of put you together and put you down and settle you. Amen. It's like getting your garbage bag out there and it's all falling over with the leaves in it. And you take it, and you pick it up and you shake it and you tie it up and you set it up nice and straight. Or you get the building blocks that the children have. They're all over the floor, and you get them, and you put them all up together, and you say, all right, that's good. So he says, after you've gone through the tough times, the suffering, it's going to mature you, but then it's going to make you more stable, establish you. It's going to make you more strong. It's going to strengthen you. But it's going to settle you so that you don't get so frantic. Do we get frantic sometimes when tough times come? That bill that you didn't expect comes. That visit to the emergency room that you didn't expect. That flat tire that you didn't expect, that engine problem, that engine light that came on you didn't expect, and we, we get frantic. Dead battery, amen. Yeah, Zach had to rush out this morning. The rest of the crew was ready to come to church, and the battery's dead. They couldn't come, so Zach had to go out and try to help him get to church, amen. So you have these things, and so he says that's what's going to happen. So he says, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. By the way, is God willing to aid us?
Yes.
Classic verse is Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let's go to Hebrews 4:16. Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Verse 15 says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without what? Sin. What was Christ? He was tempted in all ways. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, just like you and I. Did he give in to the devil? No. What did he do? He resisted. He resisted. And so what is verse 16? Let's read that together. What does verse 16 tell us when it says, ask the Savior to help you? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, unfortunately, what do we tend to do in lieu of that? What do we normally do in lieu of that? Instead of coming to the Lord boldly to the throne of grace to find his mercy, to obtain his mercy and find his grace and help in time of need. When tough times comes, what do we sometimes do? It's in our nature. What do? Men do it more than ladies. We try to fix it ourselves. Oh, God, I don't need you for this one. This one's easy. Oh, God, I don't need your help on this one. This one's good to go. Oh, I'm not really lost, Lord. I know how to get there. I just have to find it. I don't really need your help today, Lord. I'll need your help tomorrow, though. Lord, this is an easy one. I'll take this one, but I've got another tough one coming up. I want you to handle that one, but this one I can handle. What is the fallacy in that logic? There's two problems with that. Was that?
That we can do anything without him.
We think we can do things without him. And so that is problem number one. And so I will attempt to try it on my own. Now, what is the second problem with that formula?
I don't think we need him.
Basically, we don't think we need him. If I have seeming success in handling it myself this time, what am I more prone to do the second time? Handling it myself again and not going to who? To God. Why? I handled it the first time. So why do I need God? And then the third time. Well, the first time and the second time, I did a pretty good job. Third time's a charm. And we fall flat on our face. Then we go back to Hebrews. We say, oh, I need to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We say, God, help! He said, well, you actually needed me on the first two times. And you really didn't do it the way it should have been done. But it got passed. And so when we do it on our own, the temptation is to do it again on our own. Who wants us to do it on our own? The devil. That's his temptation. He wants you to do it on your own. He doesn't want you to ask God to help. He doesn't want God to get any glory. And so he will bait you into not asking. And here's a classic one. Well, I don't have time to pray about it. Oh, you don't have time to get God's hand on it? Well, I don't have time to pray about it. I've got to do it right now. You don't have time to pray about it. You're in trouble. Did it come to that crunch of time where you couldn't get God's hand on it before? Now, sometimes we have to do the Peter. I'm sinking. Lord, help me. And it's got to be just that quick. I don't really have time to get into a flowery prayer. I've got to say, Lord, help me. I'm sinking. So always make sure that we are making sure that we can come boldly, because it says, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He's willing to aid you. He will carry you through. All right, with that said, we're going to sing this song. Miss Tasha, if you can play that for us. How many know this song before? You sang this song before? Okay, a few. Yield not to temptation, for you in a sense. So now you know the biblical principles associated with this song. There are more than what I actually pulled out, but those are a few. Now, as we sing this, we can sing this from a point of understanding and not just from rote memory, because it's a good song. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you, some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. All right, first stanza. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you, some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Shun evil companions that languish disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. To Him the Lord cometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Tremendous, tremendous song. This one is not in our hymn book, but it's in the soul-stirring hymns the song book that our church had when I got saved. So tremendous, tremendous song. And so I do trust that you can follow the biblical principles are in that song. And when you get in a pinch, when you get tempted, sing the song, pull it out, say, you know what, there's scripture references that I pinned down attached to this song, and I'm going to follow those, amen, because you don't want to yield to temptation. Why? Yielding is sin. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin, amen. All right, let's take our books out here. I want to answer a few of our questions here real quick and finish this out. Anybody need a book? I need to give you a book, okay, and I'll give you the outline here. The Victory Over Temptation. Victory over temptation. All right. And so the outline goes as such. Roman numeral number one, the pattern of the tempter. The pattern of the tempter, or what does he use? And we know that he uses A, the temptation of the flesh. We know that he also uses B, the temptation of ambition, or the temptation of the eyes. Then we know C, the temptation of pride and sensationalism. He wants to get and attack your pride to get you tempted. Then we know Roman numeral 2, the power of the scriptures. The power of the scriptures. Then we see A, they promise a way of escape. They promise a way of escape. By the way, in the book, it says, whatever the temptation, whether it's anger, pride, lust, ungodly friendships, we are never forced to sin. It is our responsibility to take advantage of the means God has provided to avoid sin. Someone said the reason most people have trouble resisting temptation is that they don't want to discourage it completely. And when we flee temptation, we often leave a forwarding address. Wow. So in other words, sin knows where we live, so it comes. Oh, you moved, did you? Oh, I just came back to revisit you. How are you? Whether it's anger, whether it's pride, whatever, I came back to see how you're doing, how you're doing. Well, mad now that you showed up, amen, and there we go. And then B, they provide a way of escape. They provide a way of escape. By the way, it says here in the book, Satan cannot defeat a Christian who has a personal, practical knowledge of God's word. What does that mean? A personal, practical knowledge of God's word and use against temptation. What does that mean? Satan cannot defeat a Christian who has a personal, practical knowledge of God's word and use it against temptation. What does that mean? Personal, practical use of God's word. What does that mean to us? Anybody? Serge? I know it. Just that simple. It's like a parent giving a child a command. I personally know what my mom said. And so I'm going to practice it in my life. And I'm going to get blessed. Now, when I don't do what my mom asked me to do, I can count on being burdened with some type of a discipline. I can count on that. And then Roman number 3, the promise to the tempted. The promise to the tempted. And A is there is victory in the word of God. There's victory in the word of God. By the way, Jesus said in Luke 4:4, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He's giving us a promise that we can enjoy victory over temptation through the scriptures. Every time Satan came to him, Jesus came right back with the word of God. When you and I are tempted, we have got to be able to come back with a word from God to get temptation at bay and flee back into protection, just like Shane did, in God's care. That's the formula that God's given us. By the way, the Bible is still God's complete revelation to man and does not need to be added to or altered in any way, shape, fashion, or form. Amen. And then B, there is victory in submitting to God. There is victory in submitting to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. By the way, when God speaks to us through his word, he's not just giving us information to make us happy. He's giving us a prescription, just like your doctor. Your doctor gives you medicine. What does he expect you to do with the medicine? When he gives you instructions, what does he expect you to do with the instructions? If you don't take the medicine and don't follow the instructions, what are you most likely guaranteed of? Not going to get better, failure, whatever. You use, I think if I don't take that medicine and don't do what he told me, but I've got this home remedy or this old wives' tale that they gave me. And, you know, now some home remedies, if they're the type that are homeopathic, that they work. And so you don't always have to use with the doctors. There is a natural substitute oftentimes because most drugs are made from natural things added with chemicals to them. But if you just take the natural things all the time, you can get well. So I'm not saying that taking natural things is not going to help. What I'm saying is if you have directions from a doctor and a prescription from a doctor, he's giving you that for a reason. God is giving you the Bible for a reason, that we follow his word and do what he tells us to do. Because some doctors are quacks and they'll give you stuff that you don't need. Amen. So you want to check your homeopathic state first. Amen. So victory in submitting to God. And then C, there is victory in resisting Satan. There's victory in resisting Satan. In the book, it says someone once said, if you don't want to rot an apple, then stay out of the devil's orchard. We should leave behind any situation, any group, any friend, or any environment that pulls us down. We must resist Satan when he comes to tempt us, and we must resist the devil to win the victory with the word of God. The good news for us is Jesus Christ understands temptation. He faced the same kind of temptations that we face. He's willing and ready and able to help us overcome, and he's giving us by the word of God. Leave you with this verse here. Let's go over to Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, and we'll be done. Hebrews 4, And Hebrews 4, we just read just a few minutes ago, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." We saw that in Luke chapter 4. That was the original passage that we looked at. Each time Jesus was approached, it was by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he passed the test. And so it says, "Therefore, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may do what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." By the way, is God going to beat us up if we come to him and ask him for help? No. The Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask it of God. He giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not." Upbraid means to chew you out. God's not going to chew you out. God's going to applaud you for saying, "You finally understood that you need my word. You finally understand that you need my knowledge. And if you apply it, it'll become your wisdom. You finally understood. Come, come, come. Casting all your cares upon him, for what? He careth for you." So let's not get to the point where we think temptation is going to get the advantage of us, because we have the formula. We've got the word of God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life are the ways he's going to get us. The next chapter we're going to go into is going to be victory over stress. The victory over stress. Turn to Luke 10:42. That's going to be our memory verse for this next chapter. Luke 10 and verse 42 is going to be our memory verse. And of course, you know the classic characters we're talking about. Who was a woman of stress? Martha and Mary. Who was the one under stress, Martha or Mary? Martha. Verse 42 is going to be our memory verse. "But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part, which should not be taken away from her." So verse 41 gives what Jesus is talking about, and then verse 42 gives the application. So that's going to be our memory verse for victory over stress. How many of y'all have stress? All of us have stress. By the way, there's good stress, there's bad stress. All of us have stress. By the way, all of us need, how can I put this gently, a little encouragement to get going. And that's normally good stress. I don't want to be late for work. That's a good stress. And so I've got to get a little fire under me. I don't want my children to get sick, so I'm going to give them proper nutrition. So that's a good stress. I don't want to run out of gas, and so I'm going to get to the gas station. That's a good stress. So there's good stress and there's bad stress. And so we'll talk about that. The victory over stress. We all have it. It's just what we do with the stress that we have. Amen. If you're stressing out over what shoes to wear with your outfit, that's probably a bad stress. Amen. So it may be a good one for you. Amen. But it's not going to be a healthy one for you. So Luke 10:42 and victory over stress. We'll deal with that. Again, don't forget, no Sunday school next week. Father, thank you for the time that we had to look at temptation. Lord, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life is nothing new to us. We are aware of that. But God, help us to get the victory over those things. And God, help us recognize the victory is in the revealed word of God and our application of it in our own lives. Lord, not just to know it, but to live it and apply it and love it on a regular basis. God, we're all going to face temptation today of some sort. Lord, thank you so much that you said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Lord, those things are there. Wait on the Lord. He shall renew thy strength. Lord, thank you so much for those encouragements that we can have, that you strengthen us, Lord. But it's always going to be by your word and energized by the Spirit of God. Bless now our refreshments that we have next door and then in the morning session. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.